You know, your week just isn't complete until you've heard this program. It's not complete for me, and I'm pretty sure it's not complete for my colleague across the ocean either. Once again, it is time for the program that has no agenda, coming to you from the Curry Manor in the United Kingdom on a beautiful August day. My name's Adam Curry.
And I'm John C. Dvorak up here in Northern California, where I think we have a competitive day.
Ah, well, you're allowed to. So we might as well start right off by saying we just spent about 25 minutes trying to get the setup to work properly?
Actually, 21.
I have no idea what happened. It's all of a sudden the routing was messed up, and even though you could hear me fine and the software could register everything fine and record, I was hearing like the back end of a reverb plate. That's how I could hear myself, and you sounded like you were in the basement with 15 mattresses piled on top of you.
Yeah, I wish.
So here we go. We're good.
But you still have you fixed the problem by resetting every single thing and starting from scratch and rebuilding the code.
Well, not exactly.
But
like
you don't
that.
Know what happened. You don't know what happened.
You know what? I'm thinking the only thing I can think that happened, because you know obviously I did the same that you suggested, is what did you install? You know, what have you done this week? And the last thing I can remember installing was the new version of Skype, but that was before we recorded the last No Agenda. And the only thing I can think of is during this week, I did get a software update pop up. I clicked it, you know, in fact, I hid it for a while. You can hide applications on the Mac. And, cause I didn't want to install anything. Because, you know, I always want to take a full day and I want to make sure the software updates, you know, that there's no crap, because you hear about that within a week usually. There's something you don't want. So I just left it open. And then I rebooted, because I had this problem Friday. Yeah, just before I recorded the daily source code. And I rebooted and I clicked something and it just worked again. But I did notice that what used to be the icon for .Mac has changed now to the Mi Mobile. So maybe the software update, sucked something in anyway and misconfigured or something like that. Cause I went to rebuild all the connections between the software and the virtual routing device and it worked. So who knows?
Yeah. You know, that's probably what it was. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, I've had that happen to me. I think a lot of users, in fact, they have their regular piece of software, stops working. And they think it's something they did, and in fact, it's some upgrade or it's something else that was installed. And it's worse on Windows because of all these DLLs that are swapped in and out.
Yeah, that sucks incredibly. I've had that happen so many times on Windows, and I gotta hand it to Mac once again. Even if this is an Apple thing where they're downloading software, installing something, it's still pretty freaking easy. It does kind of work.
Yeah, well, the PCs kind of work too. I'm not like, you know, it's not like they don't work, and they have a lot more stuff.
Well, no, that's not true. They have a lot more stuff. That's not true anymore.
Yeah, no, it's still true.
No, it's not true. There's plenty of stuff for Macs. You can get all the stuff you want.
Can get all the stuff you want, but there's not as much.
Well, you give me an example of something you have that you can't get on the Mac.
No, you can get everything on the Mac that you can get on the PC, but there's more of it on the PC. I was looking for a converter for a flash to AVI thing, and there's like thousands of them.
Oh, yeah, the volume. Okay, yeah, but you also have to wade through thousands more that are just crap or install spyware or...
I didn't say that's not the case, but that is true.
I've had that happen where you're like, you want one little simple app and you do a search and you get thousands of results and it's all like kind of the same app and then they're trying to sell you something else and it doesn't really work and I hate that.
That. Right. Yeah, no, my favorite thing is the guys, it's like, it is the same app. It's these guys with different websites.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And they just change the name a little bit. The program, and those, by the way, those programs never work.
No.
Total garbage.
Yeah, or not as advertised.
It's getting more and more difficult to find stuff effortlessly. Because of these guys, it began with the cell phone providers, the mobile phone people for you Europeans. When you started to look for, like, I mean, go to Google and type in best cell phone program deal, something like that. So say you wanted to find, like I want to find, for example, a comparison between Verizon, AT&T, Singular, or say I'm in Europe, Orange and Vodafone, all the rest. I want to know what the best program is, the best system with the best coverage and the best price.
Oh, forget it. Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. There's so many sites that are doing that.
It's not possible because of all these guys that have flooded the web with these sites that just want to sell you a phone and they have phony number. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, it's
so what good are the search engines?
Yeah, it's kind of that way with Symbian. That's the operating system that Nokia uses because I have that new E71. I was looking for a couple apps and I just a couple of simple basic things. And before you find a site that actually is just good, you know, and lets you download simply, you don't have to, you know, fill out a million forms every single time. It takes a while. And you want to bookmark it once you get one of those sites.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And the other thing, you know, in fact, I found a couple of interesting sites recently like that. I'll put them on. I have the dvorak.org/home.htm page, which links to some of these sites. But I actually have to upgrade the one for downloading software. But the other thing is talking about jumping through hoops. I also hate some of the more traditional sites that we've had before that have the downloads. Now it's like you go to them and it's like a confused mess. And it says, do you want to download now or do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And then you say, yeah, I want to download. For God's sake, what do you think I'm here for? You click on it, takes you to another page with a bunch of bull on it that you need to wade through, and then the download button is someplace buried, and you find it, and you click on it, takes you to another page saying, well, which server do you want to use? And then they have a laundry list of servers, and then you, I mean, come on.
If you're looking for a piece of software, what's the first site you go to? I'm sure you don't do Google. I'm sure you go to a site. If you're looking for some Windows software, what do you go to first?
Well, on my home, I used to use Two Cows mostly, but they've made their lives complicated.
Yeah.
There's a new site. It's like Freeloader or something like that. I've got about five of them that I go to.
I've kind of stuck with from the Mac. It came from Version Tracker, and they have Windows Tracker as well. I find that to be a pretty good service.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm going to have to upgrade my little. My listing on that page I mentioned, home.htm, to the listing for it says free software that I'm going to have to go in there and go through all those specific sites and I'm going to find two or three new ones and put them up there for the public. I mean, it's at least it helps a little.
So I had a fun experience yesterday.
Oh, wait, before you say that. Anybody out there who has a great one site for mobile phone apps, send me an email.
Okay. I'll send you a couple emails.
Oh, well, you can always call. So you were doing what?
Something interesting happened yesterday. You know, I use that site, drop.io, where people can upload links and files.
I got
and stuff.
A bunch of email and Twitter messages about your being hacked.
No, it wasn't that I was hacked, but, you know, so I'm in contact with these guys, and they're kind of like an alpha. They've got, you know, I think they got a couple $1 million in funding, and I'm really a big fan of what they're doing, and I love this service. I mean, I freaking love it. And so they sent me a little note and said, oh, we added a new feature, which you'll really like, is every single time something's posted, you can have it send out a little alert with a link on your Twitter. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of cool because I haven't been doing much Twittering lately. And if I do it, then, you know, it's usually a link to something. So why not automatically have it generate a link and a little tweet message when something's uploaded? So
I mean, this already sounds bad.
So, so I'm like, okay, so I hook it all up. I'm ready to go. And here's my mistake, right? The mistake is I do a test message so I post a note onto my drop.io/daily source code, and I say, oh, hello world, testing, this should now appear on Twitter. And that was the stupidest thing I could have done, because, of course, you know, 6,500 people saw this, and you got to figure at least a fraction is saying, oh, let me go over there and see if it works. So then everyone started posting notes and shit, which just, and of course, it came through as me. And I was like, wow, what a mistake. That was, pretty dumb.
A bonehead move.
That was a real bonehead. But the idea is great. I only lost like 150 people over it. I feel bad. It was like, oh, of course, this is not so smart. 'Cause, oh, well.
Yeah, that's not it. Auto posting to things like Twitter. Yeah, you know, the great thing about Twitter that I like is the, it's different than a blog because it's more of a push or push technology, mainly because with a blog, and you know, even though they call it microblogging, it's not really blogging. It's a different mechanism. With blogs, people have to go overtly go to the blog. I mean, they can subscribe to the RSS feed, and it, maybe it makes it a little, but very few people subscribe to blog RSS feeds.
I do. I subscribe to tons of them.
Well,
I'm one of the few. Okay, I mean, it's your statistics. You should know.
I don't think that many people do. I mean, a lot of people do, but I mean, we have like 30,000 to 40,000 people visit the blog a day, and I think maybe we may have out of that, we may have 5,000 people on top of that that are subscribing to RSS, and that's, you know, it's not half. Let's put it that way. Mm. But with Twitter, you know, you're getting the tweets come through, and this, the number of followers that you have usually doesn't go down. I mean, in your case, maybe because of your bumbling.
Yes.
But generally speaking, although mine, you know, every once in a while I see it tick down one because some guy's fed up with me. But generally speaking, that group stays there, or they keep getting the stuff, although they may even abandon the service, which I think is probably more likely to happen with Twitter. So it's a different kind of a mechanism because you don't have to actually go to the blog. The blog comes to you.
Exactly.
I don't know what the point of that was, but
no, I don't know. What are you trying to say?
No, what I'm, now that you mention it, that probably didn't have anything idea. Really. Yet.
So there's as I was not listening to what you were saying, I was searching around for this link that I had on the drop. There was an executive order was pushed through yesterday, which I'm just trying to. I'm hoping you heard of this, which allows basically we now have a national security guy who sits on top of the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, and it's all consolidated.
This has been going on for a while. They've been trying to get this guy.
But this has happened. This Mike McConnell guy, I think his name is.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, let me just check. Because apparently what's in the actual executive order is pretty scary. As in all kinds of powers at home, in the homeland, in the hinterland. Hello?
Yeah, no, you know, every time I see one of these things happen, it just seems to me to be adding. I mean, I thought the Republicans were supposed to make government smaller. This just adds another layer of bureaucracy. Cause you know for a fact that this guy who's the Uber guy is going to have a huge staff and those, so they can all coordinate, and that staff is going to be staffed, and they're going to end up with a big, you know, one another layer of government that's probably going to consist of 200 or 300 people that are just looking at the other agencies. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's not just it frightens me because this sounds like, it's almost like they're gearing up for something, you know, it's like they're just getting ready. Mm. And also in it was, I just can't find all these links. I thought maybe it's in a different place. Hold on. So now there can be government and private companies who now, at the executive order will be taking care of our security at home.
Yeah. Blackwater.
Exactly. Well, no, exactly. Yeah. You laugh. It's not that funny, dude.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it is just a money grab. I don't think there's that much. I mean, I know what everyone's like. Oh, you know, they're setting up FEMA, setting up concentration camps.
Yes, exactly. I'm right there. Detention camps. Yes, indeed. Well, the one thing you cannot deny, Mr. Dvorak, the financial system in the United States is about to end. You can't deny that. It's about to end. I mean,
you know, if we were sitting here having this chat in around 1885, I could see the conversation going exactly, being almost identical.
Right. And what happened in 1885?
By the way, we could also have the conversation around 18, when the Civil War broke out in 1860-ish, mm-hmm. The government, despite the fact that the coffers were filled with money earlier.
Well, they had gold, John. There was actual gold involved.
Yes.
That's the big difference.
But the U.S. government was, after the Buchanan administration, was bankrupt. There was no money in the secretary. They gave all them, this Buchanan guy gave all the money to the southern states in advance of the Civil War. And there was no money. In fact, the Civil War from the northern perspective had to be financed by Wall Street, which is how Wall Street became as big as, began the march of Wall Street toward running everything.
Right.
And essentially, there's a number of books written about it, about how, Wall Street banked the Civil War to keep the country together.
Yeah, but John, hold on a second. There's a couple of variables here.
So I can see this paranoid conversation happening back then.
Yeah, but there's a couple of big variables. A, we're totally dependent upon oil for everything we do in our life, which, oh, by the way, is pretty damn expensive.
Wait a minute. I got to have my glass of oil here to drink. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's your computer made of, dude? Any plastic in there?
I use a wooden computer.
With stone hard drive, damn it. Solid state. No, so there's a huge variable in there of oil, of the dollar being the currency of oil. Were we at war we were about to go to war, but we hadn't been fighting a war for 5 years, which has been bleeding us dry. There was actual gold, and it was still, even though it was in the southern states, the money was still in the country. Now it's all in China. I figured it out, man. China is sitting there on, China's sitting on trillions of dollars. They're saying, holy crap, this shit isn't worthless. Let's go buy oil. So they're just like buying oils, like stockpiling this shit as much as they can to get rid of these dollars. And you know about this is a great theory. You know about the secret meeting of the House that happened on March 13th?
You're getting weirder by the week.
Yeah,
I know.
My wife was actually looking up the term schizophrenic the other day.
Yeah.
Christina told me. She said, hey, Mom and I were looking up schizophrenic on the computer. I said, why? She said, because Mom's afraid you might be one. I said, no kidding. I said, absolutely. I said, I cop to it. Guilty as charged. I'm completely schizophrenic. Yeah, maybe you think I'm growing weirder. And maybe I am, or maybe I'm just seeing what's going on, John. I mean, this shit.
Okay, well, go on with what you discovered.
Okay. Well, so really, I've been focusing all my attention around the finances. That's the main thing. I mean, look at what's going on. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, completely now subsidized by the taxpaying American, completely. With seemingly no limit, Monday is a huge earnings day. So we're going to find out how everything's going, but I guarantee you it's not going to be too great. So the oil is still at $120+. Where everyone is bankrupt. The banks are literally bankrupt. We had another bank failure. The Bank of Florida failed, yesterday, now taken over by the FDIC. There is no gold to back anything up. There's all kinds of hanky-panky going on between these central banks now. The European Central Bank has also opened up has extended their $50 billion line to $55 billion to support the Federal Reserve. There's all kinds of shady shit going on. And I just think that the money part is absolutely happening. The money, the dollar is about to fall down. I just don't see how it can go any other way. What possibly can prop up the value of this?
Oil prices can fall, and the international money traders can start pumping the dollar back to where it belongs. It's all done by these traders. The whole thing's a scam.
Okay, so take me through it. So oil prices fall. Let's say they have control over that, which I believe. So oil prices fall to, let's just make it real easy, John, $50 a barrel.
That'd be nice.
What's going to happen to the dollar then, and why?
I think the dollar's going to go up because it's just almost like a teeter-totter. The dollar should go up the other way, and because essentially when you have cheap energy, you have your cost of production goes down and makes everything makes the base value of the country higher because your cost of energy, in other words, it's a net gain. I mean, when you have to pay more to manufacture something because of the cost of oil, if the cost of oil goes down, your profit goes up. And so everything becomes the numbers all change. The the financials all change. The profits go up. The stocks go up.
All right, I got you. So here we are. You know. So oil
and
is
by
now.
By the way, when things start to heat up, which they have to do if the oil prices finally drop to where they belong, then the Fed has to raise interest rates a little bit. And when you raise interest rates, that makes the everything more attractive to outside investors because they want high interest rate countries.
Okay, so that's another – so let me – on that
and
point.
And boom, the dollar goes up. So
but that's another point. But that's another point. So right now, the interest rate in the U.S. is at 2%. The interest rate in Europe is 4.25%. The interest rate in the U.K. is 5%.
Yeah.
So that means there's a tremendous outflow of money right now from the U.S. going into the U.K., I presume. Europe, but a lot of U.K.
That would be a logical thing to assume.
Right.
Transactions on the computer.
I got some. Yes, it is. It's all. Well, none of it's actual money. That's the beauty of it. So oil is now back up to $125. And that's as of closing yesterday.
That's the end. By the way, your $200 thing is not going to happen.
Well, I spoke to my friend at Halliburton yesterday, at a subsidiary of Halliburton, and I said, could you please tell me, what does it actually cost to get the oil, one barrel of oil, out of the ground? And he said, I'll give you four prices. Well, actually, I'll give you two prices, and I'm going to tell you what it is today. He said, so a couple of years ago, it cost $2 a barrel to get it out of a desert. It cost about $20 a barrel to get it out of water, so out of the North Sea. So he says now, he says, I can't give you the exact prices of what it costs to take the money out, but he says that the problem within the oil industry is that there are no resources. They can't get enough people. He gave me an example of a derrick, you know, a crane they use, that 3 years ago would have cost $100,000 a day. He says today it is almost $5 million a day to hire the exact same derrick crane that only cost $100,000 a couple of years ago. He says that's because of the demand of China. China just wants all the oil they can get, and he says that they're stockpiling it and therefore throwing the dollar back, and we're getting fucked. I know it, John. I can feel it.
They can only stockpile so much. There's only so many, unless they make the whole country a tank farm.
Well, they got those freighters circling around. You know, there's lots of freighters out there filled with oil.
You can't build the ships faster. At some point, they all fill up.
And there's also a shortage of ships.
Yes, because they're all filled up with oil floating around. But these things are full. This thing is about to blow. I'm telling you, this collapse is going to be, there's going to be all this people running around. They're waving their arms in a circle, and they're going to be, oh my God, what the hell happened? How did this happen? How come we weren't told this was going to happen? You know, and all this kind of thing, because it's like going to happen so quick. You know, these collapses do that. It's a bubble. It's just obvious.
That's okay. Okay. So now we'll shift back to the financial system, where now the subprime mortgages, these banks have raised money. And it turns out the money they raised wasn't even enough to cover the losses they're now reporting. And now the prime mortgages, people are walking away. There's reports everywhere of, you know, prime mortgage rates, which are supposed to be, you know, like good. Now people are defaulting on those. I mean, it just seems we're in a meltdown.
You know, I'm just telling people, here's the deal, the way I see it.
Okay.
We have a public, especially here in California, that couldn't get a house like 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And now we have this market collapsing. And so now the prices are down. They're off typically 20%.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more.
No. It can't be a lot more because there's a population issue here and a shortage. And if you take a look at the housing starts, there's none. The housing start chart is done. There's nobody building anything new. And the people are having babies. People are getting older. There is a demographic shift toward California. There's no question that there's going to be a shortfall of places to live. Most people are renting or whatever. Meanwhile, these are the same people that bitched and moaned and groaned, and they do have incomes, that they couldn't get a place and they had to get in line. and you were, and people were buying over what the offering price was. Yeah. There was like an auction system going on here in California where you'd put your house up for $700,000 and sell it for $900,000.
Right.
Or you put your house up for $1.2 and sell it for $1.4. So, now, it's like you put it up for $1.2 and you're lucky to get $800,000. But there's no buyers. You know, this is the typical herd mentality out here. It seems
There's no one that can get a mortgage. No one can get a mortgage anymore. No one's writing out mortgages, John. You can't get a mortgage today.
Doesn't that seem like the whole thing's kind of rigged in some way, shape, or form for some odd reason?
Yeah, it's rigged. Well, if it's rigged, then we're going to pay for it regardless because we're just printing money to bail out banks left and right.
I'm just saying, people should be scrounging. I mean, there's the whether or not there is a problem getting the money from these guys because they've been, you know, throwing it away and now they won't give you any and now the prices are good. But it seems to me that you can find a way to get some money or at least do something to get into some of these cheap houses, which are, you know, a lot of them are being, you know, there's some real good deals out here.
All right. So first of all, the same is happening here and Patricia and I went looking for a house the other day, and we had realtors literally come out of their stores. You know, here in the UK on the high street, they have like 15 realtors on every corner. And they were actually, you know, we're just like browsing in the window, and they come out. They're like, "Oh, whoa, it's just around the corner here. I've got the keys." And the guy's negotiable.
Sounds like a bunch of nightclubs in North Beach.
Seriously,
in the 60s.
And the lady's like, we're halfway between their place and the house we're going to look at. And she's like, "Oh, you can take 25% off the asking price right off the top. We haven't even looked at the place yet." And she's already knocking it down. It was amazing. So, have you ever heard of Lyndon LaRouche?
Oh, everybody knows Lyndon LaRouche.
Yes. What is his background?
Lyndon LaRouche is like
he's an economist.
You know, it's hard to say. He ran for president a couple of times, and he has a bunch of characters who are his followers that some of them get a lot of ink. In fact, I've linked to one of them on my blog recently because of something he was doing. We don't know whether he's a Nazi or a libertarian or a communist. His politics are skewed. He's very much into your way of thinking in terms of the conspiracies and the crackpot shit going on. And he has a lot of good stories to tell, but he's got that demeanor of a guy who won't let anyone get a word in edgewise, won't go back and forth with questions and answers. He's just a lecturer. And there's a bunch, and all, most of the people from his camp are that way. Now, that said, they're a funny group. I love reading their stuff. There's always something in there that's kind of interesting, but it tends to be written in a propagandistic style, which always makes me suspicious.
So what I'd appreciate you doing is, if you have any time over the weekend, he did an international webcast from Washington, D.C. on July 22nd, and it's funny you say all that because, he also came across at times to me as somewhat anti-Semitic, certainly anti-British, which was funny. He did have a couple of interesting things to say about George Soros, which I learned a lot about, and how he fits into the global financial picture. But anyway, he did this webcast, which is about 35, 40 minutes, and then actually he answers about 10 questions. We're not going to say he actually answers every question. He goes into a little soliloquy as he's answering each one, but it was really interesting. Basically he's saying it's over. He said it's done. Forget it. Yeah, the dollar's going to zero. So here's his theory.
The dollar's going to zero. No, I like that. This is the mistake these guys make.
He didn't say literally the dollar's going to zero. He didn't say that. That's my paraphrasing. But he said the dollar's going to collapse. He said, and then we're going to go straight into the, of course, here comes the Amero and the North American Union, and then we'll have electronic money. We won't actually have paper money anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, John, just saying. So you don't think it's going to be all that bad?
I think the dollar's already collapsed. That's the point.
Yes. Well, it's been collapsing for, the whole system's been collapsing for 25 years.
And now it's bottoming out. I mean, you know, these things don't go on to, you know, people think that when things are going well, like the market's going up, it's going up, it's going up, it's going to go to infinity. It never does. It goes and whoa, it craps out. And when things are going down, especially when it's near the bottom, they think it's going to keep going down when it's obviously bottoming out. I had a friend of mine who's a stockbroker who, you know, is actually owns a brokerage, and he's going singing the blues to me, and he's going on and on about how horrible things are getting, and they're horrible, and, he's, you know, the same stuff you're saying, and I'm thinking, this guy's like in the business. And then I said, well, I think it's bottoming. I said, he said, no, here's this. And everything he described to me sounds like a bottom. It was like, you know, all the banks, you know, all these banks are busted. Fannie Mae, everything. But what, after Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and all the rest of them go, you know, into receivership or whatever.
Well, no, that's the thing. There is no receivership. We'll just keep printing money. Just keep printing the money, which every single dollar you print is devaluing them. What do you mean
you're
that's bullshit?
It sound, so they're going to be knocking on the door. Dvorak, give us your money.
No,
this
no.
is how bad it's going to be.
No, what's going to happen, John, is this is all going to come down right at the moment that once again I'm coming to San Francisco, and not only are they going to take my laptop from me, they're going to throw me in the fucking jail, and they're going to and then they're going to throw me in one of these goddamn camps they've been building, and you'll never hear from me again.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, let me make a note.
Thanks, buddy. My pal. So here's
hey,
a guy.
Curry, man.
Dude, I haven't heard from him. He's in Gitmo, man. Getting waterboarded. Listen. So this is obviously an intelligent guy. You're telling me you. I mean, you haven't been in his business necessarily.
Your friend
who owns a brokerage.
Oh yeah.
Well,
no, he's like the rest of these guys. When you're in it, you know, so if you're a foot doctor, everything you see is a foot. So it's like, you know, there's all this thing is this bad stuff, and they think it's going to be nothing, get worse. But that's, you know, he's like a typical momentum guy, which is, you know, brokers tend to be. If things are going well, they're going to go well forever. If things are going bad, they're going to get worse. I mean, that's all I'm thinking.
I
think we're at the bottom.
I think you're oversimplifying one thing, and that is that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have an open door to the printing press. That you just can't deny. That's fundamentals. If you keep on propping up those two, you know, $5 trillion debt companies, you know, with money that you're essentially printing, that just devalues the dollar even more. Am I wrong?
It's that amount of money that you just mentioned is a spit in the bucket. In terms of the, what you know, making the dollar move one way or the other, it's not that much.
Really?
I mean, if it was, you know, 10 trillion, yeah, I'd say, well, that could be an issue.
Okay, 5 and 10, big deal. So, but look, essentially, here's how it went down. What the American government did, hear me out, is very much what Enron did. They have all these off-book transactions. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are off book. They're not on the United, or they weren't on the U.S. books. You know, it wasn't a liability or an asset, but they were kind of implicitly guaranteed. And now that's come to fruition, something no one thought would ever really happen. And that means that we have to continue to prop these companies up. And so, you know, 5 million, 10 million, if 10 million does move the needle, but 5 million doesn't, I mean, it's going to move the needle somewhat. It's got to make a difference.
I don't know.
Yeah, see.
I think it's all been taken into account. I'm really convinced if the stock market hits 10,000, that's the absolute bottom. It would be nice if it did, because that's what I've been hoping it would do. That would be the absolute bottom, and from there the thing is going to skyrocket. I'm telling you, we got a boom times ahead. It better be. I mean, that's what my whole book thesis is based on.
Boom times ahead,
but not for long. But I'm just saying.
So you're about the only guy. So 2012 is your boom time. Is that when it's all going to boom?
No, we're in a full blown depression in 2012. No, next year I think we're going to have a pretty solid.
So how about the U.S. auto manufacturing companies who just reported $15.5 billion of losses? We already have, you know, really high unemployment. That's going to put another 100,000 people into unemployment when these companies fail because
like
we make shit cars. That's the bottom. When people have no money, the gas prices are $3.50 to $4.
That's not the
they got
top.
No food.
It's not the top.
No, it's definitely not the top. But I mean, the bottom, that's like disaster, John. I mean, and then how do you climb out of that? What do? We don't make anything except war stuff.
Well, I guess we can make more.
We can make more war stuff. Exactly. Exactly. Well, by the way, I think we could totally use that war stuff to do other cool things with. I
mean, you know, well, we can make stickers.
Airlines are going out of business every single day, John. They're literally going, you know, the president of KLM said this week, he said, oh, you know, if Martin Air doesn't get bought, they're going to go be bankrupt.
And yeah. Well, there's too many airlines out there anyway.
Yeah.
How many airlines do you need?
Dude, there's a lot of people traveling, and this is a lot of the economy depends upon that. Particularly in a continent like Europe where, you know, we do business in different countries all the time.
Get on the train. So, not to change the subject, but I was thinking about this, public transportation in the United States. So, I wanted to take a train from the Bay Area to Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Now, here's what I can drive to Seattle from San Francisco, and it takes about 14 hours. And it costs maybe about $150 in gas, depending. Maybe a little more. Maybe. Now, I could take the train to Seattle. And it takes 24 hours.
Wow.
Now, it seems to me that public transport, and it costs more.
Yeah.
And I've been noticing that most public transportation, people moan and groan, oh, public transportation in the United States, you know, we need to put more of it in, we need to do this, we need to do that. How about making the ones that we already have in somewhat efficient? I made the calculation on the Amtrak train from the Emeryville or Oakland station to Seattle, and based on the amount of time it takes to get from here to there, and it stops every so often, it goes 39 miles an hour.
Right.
This is a passenger train. If it went twice as fast or averaged 80 miles an hour, it would get there in 12 hours, which would beat the car, probably cost the same amount of money, and you'd have a very interesting business case for leaving on a red eye or on a sleeper car at 10 at night and getting into Seattle at 9:30 or 10 in the morning, refreshed.
Nice and fresh, yeah.
Refresh and ready to do business, as opposed to jumping on. If you had a 10 o'clock meeting in Seattle from San Francisco, you'd have to get on a 7:30 flight. Actually, you wouldn't even make it. You'd have to get on a 6:30 flight. You'd be up there about 8:30, and then you'd be in Seattle from the airport around 9:15, maybe 9. But you'd be all beat up.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, it's like.
So the reason why that doesn't happen, John, is because all these commercial companies of this privatized transportation, they're also all leveraged out their ass. They've also played the game. They got no money to invest in this shit, nor do they care.
Boy, you're a pill today.
I am. I really am. It's the schizophrenic side is coming out.
I don't think so.
The others.
You're like this all the time. I think that's what people don't get.
Well, you know, no, because I worry about this stuff, John. I really do. No, it. You know what? I really don't give a shit. Although I have ordered gold. So I want some bars of gold. Damn it! I want to hold on to them.
What are you paying an ounce for it right now?
I don't know. What is it? $900? Something like that.
It's too high. Anyway, so. All right, what else do we want to talk about? I don't want to bore people stiff with our half-baked economic philosophies.
You call them half-baked. Okay.
They're half-baked. We don't know what we're talking about. I mean, I do know what I'm talking about. When I say the train's going 39 miles an hour, I made the calculation.
Right, okay. And all I'm saying is because these companies, of course you're right. Of course you're right. I mean, we've got trains that go 300 miles an hour.
You
know,
yeah.
That shit's good. Yeah, but, you know. There's no money to put that.
Can you imagine now a 300 mile an hour train? The thing is, they want to do a high speed train from San Francisco to Los Angeles, and now they're gonna, you know, they have all these initiatives. But the problem is, there's a huge mountain in between San Francisco and Los Angeles on the other side of the San Fernando Valley. It snows down there on this mountain. Mm. It's a mountain that most of our mountains go up and down, you know, longitudinally, up and down, you know, like north south. And this is an east west bunch of hills that called the Grapevine, and it's a you got to drive over it. It's like painful, and there's no way they can get a train, a high speed train, to shoot over the top, and they're not going to drill a hole through it. So that high speed train to L.A. is not going to happen. Let's like they might be able to skirt the coast, maybe. Well, whatever. The point is that there's not as much of an issue going. Although there is, there is kind of in Oregon. There's a couple of hills. Anyway,
is why airplanes are so beautiful, man, because they do get you there. No, mountains aren't the problem. Yeah, but
A 300-mile-an-hour train has its appeal. You go to the train, people who don't go to Europe much, the listeners on this side of the water, they haven't been on these trains. I mean, you go to, there's two things you have to understand. One, the trains aren't always going 300 miles an hour. In fact, they clunk along a lot at low speeds. And then they hit the track, and they turn it up. But these trains are more convenient if you're doing a trip that's less than, like, say, a couple hundred miles.
Yeah. But they are great. I mean, the train down to Brussels, as an example, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And they have a speedometer up on the wall. You can look at it and see how fast you're going. It's kind of fun. And the problem I have with the high-speed trains in Europe is that because they're on these dedicated tracks when they're going at high speeds, the tracks tend to be buried in a gully, and so you don't get a view of anything. Especially the ones in France that you take the train.
Yeah, there's literally walls on each side. I think, isn't there like cement walls or something?
In a lot of situations, yeah. There are, yeah. Because it keeps people and cows, I guess, from going
getting
on the track.
Yeah, from getting sucked in.
Yeah.
One of those
right.
One of those fuckers goes by, man. You're going to get sucked along.
So so you go from Paris to Bordeaux in a high-speed train. Yeah, it doesn't take very long, but it's like you don't see anything. It's like the boringest ride ever.
Yeah, don't they have in-seat video?
I think some of them do. I don't remember that.
Yeah, they should.
Well, I mean, I don't remember. I don't remember seeing.
Just turn on the hypno box, man. It's like that makes everyone.
But the point is that the regular old trains, the trains that don't go as fast, but they still do 100 plus miles an hour, are better, or more fun.
There's
if you like looking out the window.
There's a video somewhere of some kid on YouTube. I should find that again. And he actually hitches a ride on the back of one of these bullet trains. And he has like these, the suction cups they use to carry big panes of glass.
Yeah.
So he uses those and he has two and he suctions himself onto the back of one of these bullet trains and he rides along. He's got a helmet cam on. He was like terminally ill, I think. And so he wanted to do something cool before he died.
To kill himself.
Well, no, he didn't. He didn't kill himself.
Wow.
The result was the same, except we got a great YouTube video out of it.
Oh, I didn't. I'll dig that one up.
Forget the guy's name. Yeah, I'll send you a link. I'll find it for you.
So what did they do? Arrest the guy afterwards, or they didn't even notice?
No, they didn't arrest him. Not that I know of. He was pretty well known for it. You're gonna make me look, aren't you?
It seems to me that he's getting a ride for free. They should at least charge him a fare.
Yeah, let's see. Bullet train. Bruno the Kid, I don't know. I can't remember.
So what, it was one of those, was it in Europe, one of the fast trains there? Like
Germany's bullet train.
The ice.
I think this
that's
is
the
it.
Ice.
Hold on. Yeah.
That's the intercontinental, whatever.
Yeah, here it is. Before he died from leukemia, the train rider enjoyed the last year of his life by surfing on trains, including Germany's fastest high-speed train, ICE, with a top speed of 330 kilometers per hour.
That's a nice train, by the way. I've been on the ice a couple of times, and it's, in fact, if you go to the CBIT show, most people stay out of town, and it always takes you about an hour to get into the Hanover. And the smart money stays in Hamburg, which is actually the furthest away, but there is a 1 hour ice train that runs from Hamburg and stops at the show. And it leaves like every 20 minutes.
You know, you notice how today you're telling the people listening to this show, you're telling them all about European stuff, and I'm telling them all about American stuff. You're trying to deflect the attention away. Yeah, really. You're trying to deflect the attention away from the failing United States of America. You just think I'm a kook. You watch, man.
I got my orders.
Okay.
Let's see. Here it says, okay, this week, John, you are required to talk mostly about Europe. Take the emphasis right here. Take the emphasis off the troubles here in the U.S.
Who sent this in?
And then it has about three or four other little talking points. And then this comes in by a special red line fax, which is something, you know, not too many people know about.
It's your official talking points. Here's what we're doing, guys. Oh, man. Have you been following that story about the anthrax guy?
Oh, that's a real interesting story.
I love stories like that.
Yeah.
So this is the guy who was about to be accused of being involved with the anthrax letters that were sent out after 9/11, although he had already been acquitted of that charge and had been paid $5 million in damages.
No, that was another guy that they actually named publicly as a person of interest and that ruined his reputation. He's the one.
Oh, it's a different guy.
Yeah, this is a different guy.
Oh, okay. So they were going to get this guy, who, oh, by the way, was in the government. I mean, at the end of the day, it's coming from the government if it came from him. And there was an article Friday in the LA Times, I believe, where he said, oh, yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be indicted. And then he kills himself.
Yeah.
He suicides himself. He was suicided.
Yeah.
With Tylenol. Yeah, so. Tylenol and codeine, please. Massive quantities. Here's a guy who knows how to put anthrax together, and he's going to kill himself. And let me think, what's the best way? Oh, I'm going to eat 15 bottles of Tylenol.
Right. And if I don't kill myself, then I'm going to be in dialysis for the rest of my life.
I mean, really, that's way to go. Really credible suicide.
Yeah, that was well, the other thing about that, if it was an assassination,
which of course is what we all presume.
Well, we do, being the nutballs that we are.
Oh, I'm glad you're in on this one with me, John. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, welcome aboard. Pleasure dome.
this one has, you know, crackpot
conspiracy. Has CIA all over it, doesn't it?
So the guy, it seems to me that the guy would have like been shot himself in the head with left a suicide note, and it would have been set up better if it was done professionally.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm a little leery about, I think it was probably, it may have been done by a coworker, or maybe the guy did kill him. I don't know.
No, it was very slick. Massive quantities of Tylenol. I mean, that's not like someone doesn't just kill you with that, you know?
It doesn't make sense.
Of course not.
I mean, of course, it could have been the autopsy could have been rigged, but the whole thing is like just it makes you shake your head. It's like it's either an amateur hour version or maybe not. You know, maybe this is the new way to do things, which is to make it look like a incompetent guy. You know, kill himself. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows what the thing is.
You know what I think? I think we talked about this maybe last week. I think they finally figured out that there's so much media, there's so many crackpots like us, that it's better just to do something really, really wacky so that people can come up with all these conspiracies, because then you can always just discredit them as being nut jobs. I mean, that's the easiest way. It seems so obvious.
I'm thinking you might have nailed it. That's a possibility. And I would think, let's say I was in the assassination squad of some agency, and it doesn't necessarily have to be one of ours. You might get to the point where it could be Russian. I mean, it could be Chinese. I mean, you don't know who this guy, you know, any of the connections here.
Well, let me give you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say we don't really know we don't know the real story here, and we never will. But let's just say that you were into some. You know, this guy was taken out. What point do you do so many of these things? Do you say, hey, I got an idea. Let's try this one out and see what they think.
Yeah, they're just experimenting. Let's see how many bloggers come up with shit about this one. Here, let's say he died of massive amounts of Tylenol. Yeah, with codeine. Yeah. Please. This guy was a scientist. He had access to anthrax. He knew about how that shit worked. Wouldn't he just like have a little lick of his own shit?
Well, you know, if you're in a big lab, having worked in one, and I'm not going to give away too many secrets, but there's some stuff in there.
Yeah, you can kill yourself immediately.
If you wanted to kill yourself, it would be fast and painless.
Absolutely.
It's right there. I mean, it's right there in the lab. You can just go over there and, you know, in some cases you might have to check it out, you know, but what difference does it make? Okay, I checked out the bottle of XYZ. You know, you just take a little dab and put it on your tongue and boom, that's it. You know,
so there's an
this
interesting
makes no sense.
Well, there's an interesting case over here. Have you ever heard of Jill Dando, of the Jill Dando murder?
No, never heard of Jill Dando.
Jill Dando was the darling of British television in the 90s. And I'm not quite sure how early on she started, but she was huge. She was beautiful, perfect woman. And she could do all, you know, serious news programs, but she could do other entertainment type shows. Fantastic. She gets shot one day in London, right in her forehead, in front of her home. And so they wind up convicting a guy. So they had no evidence. They had no murder weapon. They had no motive. They had one guy who had like a 75 IQ. Who had been lurking around, you know, clearly mentally disabled, retarded person. And he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. So they convicted this guy. They just let him go. They exonerated him the other day, like 2 days ago, after his case went back to trial and he was found not guilty. And so now everyone's starting to say, you know, where did this one come from? And so this is really interesting. First, it was whenever they switch police chiefs on this kind of stuff, that's when you got to be kind of wary. So there's like a new police chief, and then instead of a Russian caliber, you know, like 9mm weapon that she'd been killed with, it was all of a sudden it was an English Browning, and they're thinking that maybe it had to do with it was retaliation for the Bosnian War when the U.S. and U.K. jets bombed a television station, and so then they decided they'd take out, you know, a couple of RTV people. And there's all kinds of crazy theories whizzing around about this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. That's bloggable.
Oh, it's very bloggable. It's fascinating stuff.
So this woman was assassinated.
Yeah, right. I mean, she was shot right in her forehead. Boom. You know, like right in the middle.
Yeah, by a pro.
Yeah, except, you know, they get the retarded guy walking around, you know?
Right, the retarded guy. Who can we stick this on? Yeah. Hey, look at that guy. He's an idiot.
No, they probably positioned him. Like, hey, stand here for a second, buddy. Don't move.
Boom.
I'm telling you, it's crazy.
You know what? I wonder if it's a random act of violence or a random assassination. But generally speaking, when you see those things, you know, when it all shakes out in the end, there's always turns out to be some reason the person was selected. So there has to be something. Maybe she was connected to somebody, or she said something, or I don't know. What do you think? What's the theory over that? It can't be just something that simple. It's just, well, you bombed our TV station, so we're going to shoot your anchor.
Yeah, there's a couple of different stories, and I've only kind of glanced through them, but I think she might have been doing one. There might have been a profile piece that she was doing, a journalistic piece. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I haven't really gone down the rabbit
hole
yet.
Generally speaking, TV people aren't really journalists. They're just talking heads.
Yep.
And they don't do that much original reporting. Although, you know, now having said that, I'll get two or three notes. Oh, yes, we do. You know, yeah, they do, you know.
Dan Rather always has. I've always liked Dan Rather for that.
Yeah, well, he's been a better reporter than anything else. I think he was always a better reporter than he was a anchor. And he's still doing it, even though he's 90.
No, he's not, you know, 90.
He looks like it.
He's not 90.
He's got the bad thing about Rather, which you can't unfortunately. I don't know if he had Botox or what, but he doesn't seem to be able to move his face. So he has this kind of like
stiff.
He looks like he's stuffed. As a matter of fact, he just sits there with this blank look, and you know he asks the right questions and he gets the right, you know, and he does some really good stuff on this HDNet. You know, Mark Cuban has this channel.
It does really in-depth pieces, right? Some really expensive stuff.
Yeah, he does the old-fashioned expensive reporting where you have to actually, you know, spend a lot of money bringing a whole crew around the world, you know, and you know he's not going on in coach. And so he does this expensive style, old-fashioned reporting that nobody can afford. And it's always really interesting, but of course it has the same impact it's always had, none. You know, he did a thing on all the border wars and the drug dealing along the U.S. Mexican border because
if it's not on all the networks at the time for at least the 24-hour news cycle and on the news networks and then all the newspapers, it didn't happen.
Right. So you have a very small segment of the population. I don't know how many people watch HD net, but it's not as many that watch NBC, I can assure you. So yes, a few people that know about this stuff and whatever, and rather did his job.
So I thought this is something you probably, you might have blogged, this major discovery from MIT that's going to unleash the solar revolution.
Yeah, I blogged it. It's a fraud.
Well, what it is, it's the hydroxy booster. It's the exact same system that I'm using in my car now. That's why it really caught my eye, because it's basically using a solar panel to create electricity, then use hydrolysis to create hydrogen and then store that hydrogen, which of course it's a gas. You can store it.
Yeah, you can store it. Good luck.
Well, why do you say it's a fraud? I mean, this isn't big news.
It's a bullshit story.
I was all excited. You're like harshing my mellow. Well, John.
Anything that's got to do with hydrogen seems to get you all pumped up.
No, I mean, here's MIT with a quote major discovery.
I should mention to people out there that hydrogen is extremely difficult to store. It leaches through. I mean, you have to have really thick.
All you need is a blimp. They store great in Zeppelins.
Yeah, it leaked out of those things too. That's the problem. It's the atom is so small that it can actually go through steel and come out the other side, and it does that. And in fact, I used to work when I was an air pollution inspector. We used to inspect one of the companies over here in Richmond that had a big giant globe of hydrogen. It was this monstrous tank of hydrogen because they used it to hydrogenate oils.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is to pump hydrogen. You say polyunsaturated. They take polyunsaturated oil, and polyunsaturated means it's not saturated with hydrogen. And so then they saturate it.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
So you take a polyunsaturated oil, like a safflower oil, and then you pump it up with hydrogen, and you can make this kind of ersatz margarine out of it. But now it's got a bunch of this stuff pumped in there. The guy told me, by the way.
Really? Wait a minute. You make margarine from hydrogen?
No. You use the hydrogen to saturate the oil. Uh-huh. With hydrogen with some catalysts, and it's a process, but the hydrogen is the key.
And that creates margarine.
It makes the oil. Yeah, it does, basically. Okay. Essentially.
Cool.
Anyway, so it's a weird process, but that's boiled down to its, you know, basics. But anyway, the guy says that they can pump enough hydrogen into any of these oils that are, you know, these healthy oils. And he says we could actually turn it into a brick if we wanted to.
All right. I just want to make sure of one thing, that on August 2nd, 2008, John C. Dvorak discredits the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. and says they are. This is a bullshit discovery. Can I just quote you, John? Bullshit discovery.
Yeah, bullshit. Yeah,
it's bullshit. It's
bullshit.
What is it intended to do? This bullshit, just to get MIT on the map again, or?
Oh, it's a good publicity stunt. Well, let me finish my story about the hydrogen.
Okay.
So anyway, they got this huge tank of hydrogen outside. And this is when I first found out about the hydrogen problem with storing it. I know I've talked to other people at gas companies, compressed gas companies, who also, you know, told me some things I needed to know about these hydrogen powered fuel cell cars. Mm-hmm. And how they're never going to ever get them to work because they can't get enough hydrogen stored. Anyway, the point is that the hydrogen seeps through the tank and leaches out constantly. So there's essentially hydrogen coming off this thing. And every so often they have like these gauges, and they have to go out and inspect the tanks constantly because occasionally it'll catch on fire. But it's not like it's blowing up or anything. It's like a wick. So the steel itself is actually a wick for the hydrogen. And once it catches on fire, the hydrogen then gets sucked through the steel, and it forms apparently an invisible blue flame all around the dome,
which can
burn for days, and they have to be really careful because it heats up the damn thing.
No shit.
And, and then it could blow up. And so they have to constantly monitor this tank for the leaching hydrogen just to make sure it's not burning. I'm thinking, this is horrible, this whole process.
Okay, but this was how many years ago? You think they've maybe perfected this since then?
No.
No, they haven't.
What's there to perfect?
I don't know.
Hydrogen is a small, small atom that can go through anything over time. I mean, it's like, you know, this is the way it is. Now, when they compress it a lot and makes it a little more difficult, I don't think it's leaching through necessarily, although I have to talk to an expert, through these tanks, which now on the hydrogen fuel cell cars, these tanks, to get as much hydrogen in there as they need, these tanks have got the hydrogen pressurized at 10,000 pounds per square inch.
Oh, that's frightening. You're a driving bomb.
You're driving this little, but you know, oh no, it's rupture proof. You know, they got all
brought
these.
To you by Halliburton. It's rupture proof, everybody.
So they got these rupture-proof tanks, and there's a whole bunch of them in these cars, to get enough, because, you know, there's some magic number they have to get the things to go. And one full fueling, they want the car to go 350 miles or 300 miles. I used to know, I don't know what the number is now, but it's something higher than they can do, and without making, you know, a million tanks in there. It's impractical, you know, at some point. But meanwhile, they got these rupture-proof tanks filled with hydrogen at 10,000 pounds per square inch. That's the current state of the art. It's like, it seems to me that these systems are, it's just impractical. I mean, it's kind of modern and interesting. And the other thing, by the way, not to belabor the point, I'm trying to get off the topic a little bit. I've driven these cars. I've driven about five or six different ones because I'm on the list. Mm-hmm. The guys who get to look at these cars, and they have a showcase of them every so often. They make a horrible sound when you drive them. They make the hydrogen running through the membrane. There's this old-fashioned membrane that makes the whole process work, the fuel cell, which is apparently not new. And they think if they can make that better, they might be able to make this whole system work better. But anyway, you drive around, if you gun it, you give it full tilt, you just pump it, you know, you floor it. The thing goes, you know, like a regular car, not quite as fast, I don't think, as a gasoline engine, at least the ones I've driven. But it goes, you know, takes off, but it starts to make this high-pitched scream. It's kind of like a cat being choked, but really loud. And every one of the cars I've driven makes the same noise. And it's like very annoying. It's a screeching, strange screeching sound that is unpleasant. So I've asked these guys about it. So what's the deal with the noise? Yeah, well, it's when the hydrogen goes through here and it makes this noise. Apparently it's, you know, I don't know. I don't like them.
Okay. Well, we've learned a lot about hydrogen.
A little bit.
Here on Romper Room.
And we've also gotten a lot of Twitters, by the way, about your
hydroxy booster. Yeah, people who say it can't work, it's impossible, it'll never work.
Right, well, there's that. But I sided with you, saying that, you know, if you're getting, it's possible, it seems to me, that if you get this hydrogen and oxygen out of the mix and reintroduce it into the fuel, that it might make the fuel burn more efficiently. It's possible. Well, and you would get a net energy gain. I think that's possible. Yes. But I also agree with the guys who wrote in, and there's been a lot of them. It's got to be producing a lot of excess water coming out of the exhaust system and rusting out your tailpipe.
That is possible. I'll have a look. But I have also thought about this. I said that, you know, the only other two things that are possible here is A, maybe the engine and I think you said this, maybe the engine management computer has adjusted itself and just given me, you know, a better performance overall because they're so detuned to meet environmental specifications. So that's a possibility. The onboard computer was definitely messed up when I introduced this hydroxy into it. Two, maybe I'm just driving differently, although I did the test on cruise control. You know, you can't always keep it on cruise control, and maybe I didn't, you know, who knows? I mean, there could be a difference there. Or indeed, well, you know, what you're saying is it actually has some effect.
It might, but the thing about the computer, so I did. A couple guys wrote me mentioning that they had used, you know, they had found or they knew people. You know, you can get chips for most of the cars out there.
Yeah, you can make it. You can really lean the mixture or do whatever you.
Make it work better, so it's not oriented toward less pollution, but oriented toward better performance.
Yeah, exactly.
One guy claims that he was getting like, you know, 18 miles of the gallon, and then he put in a new chip and he was getting like 30. I thought that was a bit extreme. I mean, I could see getting a few more miles per gallon, but it's possible that people should just be swapping out their computers for on these cars and, you know, whatever. It's not environmentally cool, but, you know.
It's cool though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this when we're paying this much for gasoline, you know, whatever.
I must agree with you, the Daniel Nocera of MIT, he does look pretty dorky.
Boy, he's from MIT, for God's sake. They have a facial recognition system that all the applicants at MIT, they have to look like dorks or you can't get in. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
True.
Hey, Jesse Ventura is going to speak at the big Ron Paul rally for the Republic.
You get his autograph.
Why?
Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do, and I think because you're going to be the host of this thing.
Not of the second night. I'm in the minor leagues at the rally.
Well, whatever. You're going to get to see Ron Paul and Jesse Ventura. I'm thinking.
Of course, yes.
I want you to get me an autographed baseball.
Why?
I decided that the coolest thing in the world is an autographed baseball because, for one thing, the ink on that skin that's, you know, the leather is made, it seems to stay for a long time. And I think I'm going to start collecting autographs, but only on baseballs. And I think it would be cool to have, don't you think it'd be cool to have a baseball with, like, you know, Ron Paul, just, and a whole bunch of people like that? But, I may get a baseball of the Mevio group in San Francisco. Just have everybody sign the baseball.
Okay. All right. So then here's an idea for you, John. Why don't you be my guest and come out to the Rally for the Republic, meet some of our friends, and I'll get you in to get, you know, you bring the baseballs. All right. You bring your little baggie of balls and I'll get you in to get the autographs from Ron Paul and Jesse Ventura.
Is this thing on?
I'm not going to do your dirty work. You start your own collection, damn it. I'm not going to do that for you.
Won't even give me a baseball autograph.
No way. Hi, Dr. Ron. Can you send me a baseball for my friend John, who thinks that I'm a crackpot and we're all crackpots and you're a crackpot? I don't think so. You Judas? No way. Not going to happen.
I might show up. I might come.
Let me know because I can totally hook you up.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I think there's another convention going on at the same time. Is it when
the Republican convention?
Oh, is it the Republican convention?
Yeah.
Or I thought it was I thought he said he was doing it at the during the Democrat convention because he didn't want to interrupt the Republican convention.
No, he's doing it during the Republican. When's the Democrat convention?
I don't know. I don't know. The end of August, I think.
Yeah. No. So this is.
Wait a minute. I take it back. I think the Democrat convention's been canceled.
No, it hasn't. Oh, dude. Oh. You got to see this. This Lyndon LaRouche when he talks about Obama.
I can't believe you're now just discovering Lyndon LaRouche.
What can I tell you? Okay, I'm a Johnny come lately. So he has this whole rap on Obama, which is fascinating. He's like Obama. He's working for the enemy Britain, our enemy, which is Britain.
Now, if you could only get Lyndon LaRouche's accent, because he's got this weird way of talking.
Yeah, he does. You know what? That's a guy we need a baseball from. Okay, from Lyndon LaRouche. So he lays in this whole rap about how George Soros has financed and completely programmed and is running Obama. And then, he's like, it's cost $750 million. But, you know, they're going to get him all the way up to the finish line. And it was only intended to destroy Hillary because he'll never be voted. He'll never get it, be president. Said it was never intended to be that way. And they're going to destroy him before the elections. I don't know if that's before he's, the official Democratic candidate.
No, it'd have to be after, because if the whole thing was to get at Hillary,
right, it would have to be after.
Wouldn't play ball with the British. And then it would have to be after.
So you should.
But we figured there's got to be something.
You got to hear that rap, though, man. It's amazing. And then he goes into this whole thing about how George Soros kept Britain out of the euro by, you know, he was supposed to be the guy that bankrupted the pound. Remember that?
Yeah, you know, I think they give George Soros more credit than he deserves.
That's possible.
You know, I mean, the guy's, he shows up here and there. Yeah, you know, he's behind MoveOn.org, they say. He's behind this, behind that. How much time is there in the day? I mean, I can barely keep my office clean.
Well, you don't know what these guys, all he's going to do all day is stroke his white pussy and go, muhahahaha.
Yeah, Blofeld is the reference for anyone who doesn't get that. So, is the Lyndon LaRouche thing on YouTube or Google or someplace?
No, it's at LaRouchePack.com, I think. Hold on.
Because if I can find it on YouTube or someplace, I'll post it on the blog. Because I think people love that. I mean, the guy is very entertaining. When he was running for president, he was on TV all the time.
Here you go.
Giving these same speeches, you know.
There's the link. And then you want to go to his new webcast. Now, you should watch that. You'll enjoy it.
No, I will. I actually do enjoy listening to him, because it's like you just shake your head. I ran into one of his proteges.
I wasn't shaking my head. I'm going like, yeah, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. He literally says that, John. He says, we're going to die. It's fantastic.
So you were talking about earlier about you were struggling with, I wanted to bring this up before we finished off. You were talking about you had set up, you know, your sound thing, and you couldn't get it fixed, and you forgot how it worked because you haven't used it for such a long time. And I was like, I had to post a little Mevio bug on, or a Textra bug at the bottom of one of my websites, which is iptvdaily.com.
Yeah.
And it's a Joomla, not a WordPress content manager that I was using. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I set this thing up about 2.5 years ago, and using Joomla when I actually could. And then I had to go in and fix some, you know, I had to hand tweak the template. I had to drop this thing. It took me hours and hours and hours. And I called people that kind of knew, and it was the same story. Yeah, you can't, you know, a lot of these open source public projects are never really designed to be easy. they're designed by the guy for himself, and this, you know, it works or it doesn't. But it was like, if you're not playing with some of this stuff constantly, you forget how to use it, which really makes me suspicious. Not like, you know, bicycle riding is not the case. You get on a bicycle, you know how to balance yourself, you can go pedal.
Right.
But it's like, and the best example of this for anybody out there, if you can find a computer, an old clunker that's running Windows 3.1, I would advise you go and see if you can even make it work.
Yeah, really.
Because there was a thing called File Manager, and it was, you know, it's just, you can't figure it out. It's like, how do I get anything to even run? And that was a machine that you probably used for you probably used that system for years, you know, literally years, and you use it on a daily basis, and if you go back to it, you can't figure out how to use it. What is wrong with this picture?
Well, it's progress.
It just baffles me that you can't, that, you know, after using something for years and years,
you go back and you don't know how to use it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have that problem too much. You know,
you just did today. That's the point.
Well, that was a little different than because I only set that up once. It was like a, you know, it's a big ball of
wire. You're right. But during that period of when you set up, you had the thing down. You knew you had to.
Well, okay, yes. All right, so let me say this. My reliance upon that was incredibly large. So I guess the point is, when you set up systems to run and then you base other stuff that you're doing on top of that, and, you know, there's more abstractions, and as your life gets easier, there's all these little nuggets of shit that kind of worked somehow, and if one breaks, then it's crazy to have to go and figure it out.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what every Web 2.0 company in the world has.
pretty much.
Yeah. Now we're getting.
Anyway, I find it annoying that I guess maybe I just wanted to complain.
Okay. Well, you're real downer there.
Yeah, well, I brought the whole show to a
screeching halt. Yeah.
So what? Now we were supposed to talk about something like either last week or the week before. You know, we keep saying this, and this bothers me. By the way, again, we tease something for the next show, and then we never revisit it ever. And this has always bothered me. I don't know if you ever watch TV or listen to the radio when you have a talk show guy, and he says, "Yeah, we'll be and oh, we got Nokia to beef up venture fund. We'll be right back with that story and more right after this." And they never revisit it.
Yeah, they never come back. Let me go look at Bubba's show notes. Maybe there's something in that.
It's going to be in there.
Well, it could be.
Maybe Bubba should be responsible for
keep reminding
us
our brains.
Points memo. Yeah, responsible for our brains. You guys are supposed to talk about. You said you were going to talk about this last week, so you should talk about it because you're going to get somebody mad. Although I don't think our listeners really care about anything we have to say.
No, it's just those dulcet tones.
So. I don't know. What else?
Well, I'm looking at...
How about let's talk about... What about Obama? He hasn't been in the news much.
I was watching Jon Stewart last night, and he had a pretty good montage, and it was all the talking points, clearly, and now it's, is Obama too arrogant?
Yeah, that's the latest.
Yeah. And Jon Stewart was fantastic. He's like, the guy's running for president. What do you mean? Of course. Now, maybe that's all the setup. Maybe that's the whole Soros game. Who knows?
Soros is behind the whole thing. So, Letterman's got a new thing called Annoying Word of the Day, and he did one the other day. And he pulled a Stewart, which was to collect a series of clips from everyone. By the way, I think this is
Repetitive talking point clips.
Yeah, right. Which I think, by the way, is great because it really shows you. I think it's great for the public to see because then you realize that this is like these
it's like it's a setup. Like that's how the media works, and they all copy each media, other. Yeah,
that the media sucks essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
And his first word for the series is Veep Steaks.
Okay.
And I thought it was like Veep Steaks. And I said, well, he's not gonna have
like
too much.
Like the VP sweepstakes.
Yeah, the VP, the vice president sweepstakes. And the word is Veep Steaks. And I swear to God, he must have found 75 separate and distinct references to these idiots going Veep Steaks with logos about Veep Steaks and guys saying it. It was amazing. It was actually, I don't know, he must have a new person on his staff that came from Stewart's show.
Yeah, exactly.
That just, I don't know.
Well, he's hipping it up because that's what gets people going. And, I always think Letterman, he's a rebel, He's doing his bit. He's trying to wake people up to show what's going on.
I think Letterman's one of the best entertainers we've seen for a long time. He's a natural.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always been, he's got that grumpy quality that he seems to be like a grumpy guy, but he's naturally funny. He's got the good lines. He has a nice sense of what a show should be like.
Yeah.
It's always, every time, and he does this, he has recurring gags. The one he's been doing for the last couple of years, which is always good for a cheap laugh, is a thing called Great Moments in Presidential Speeches.
Yes. Oh, I love that one.
And he shows a few clips from here and there, and then he has,
he'll show like Kennedy saying, "Ich bin ein Berliner."
Yeah, you have the big, big Roosevelt doing one thing, or we only have fear, and so he has these, then he cuts to a George Bush standing at a podium saying something really stupid. And it's like, and that day after day after day, it's every day he does this, and it's always Bush in some other venue saying something stupid or stammering or getting confused.
Yeah, but don't you? Because that's actually a clone. It's not actually Bush. It's a clone Bush. Look at Bush when he entered the White House in 2000, man, and look at a picture of him now.
There was a...
That's a clone, man. That's a different guy. It's not the same guy.
We actually, a couple years ago, and I'd have to dig this up, but unfortunately, the search engine on my own blog, I can't find anything. I think I'm going to have to put Google on it or something. Anyway, there is a clip out there showing George Bush when he was still the governor, and you know, the bunch of the way he spoke and the way he, it was extremely fast mm-hmm. on his feet, quick witted, sounded intelligent. And then they cut to the other clips, which is him, you know, 3 years into his job, you know, beat up looking, gray haired, yeah. you know, slow witted, yeah. saying dumb things.
Dumb, yeah.
And it reminds me of the Star Trek episode where the guy was in this planet that was filled with Nazis.
Yeah.
Remember this one? And they had the guy who was sent down from the Federation, and they had him doped up in the back. and the Star Trek crew, Kirk, yeah. had to rescue him. And
he had to fight the Nazis. Wasn't there like a really hot Nazi chick, too?
Oh, there was always if you can't have Nazis without a hot Nazi chick.
Yeah. Remind me to talk about that in a second.
No, I'm done.
Oh. Do you follow the Max Mosley story?
I don't know Max Mosley.
Max Mosley runs the richest motorsport in the world, known as the Formula One.
That guy.
And the News of the World ran this huge story with pictures. Max Mosley caught in Nazi sex orgy. And they said they had pictures of these leather-clad women, you know, like spanking him. And he sued the News of the World, and he won. This was early in the week. He won a very, you know, minor amount, £60,000. And the reason why is because, you know, it was a privacy issue that, first he proved or the judge agreed that it was not a Nazi sex orgy. It was just a sex orgy. So they got that dropped, but under, privacy, personal privacy, the News of the World was found, you know, guilty of, you know, revealing something they shouldn't have, namely what this guy was doing and taking clandestine photos. And now he's going to sue them in civil court for damages. And he's doing this with a German magazine, with a French magazine. But the whole funny thing is, it's like, dude, he's like Formula One. You know, of course you can have some like Nazi sex orgy. You know, that's what that sport is about.
So the way we look at it in the United States with this kind of thing, you wouldn't have won any suits because it's your right of privacy as a public personality is pretty limited.
Right.
And so it would be a tough go here. I think they're a little more, you know, they're over there, their privacy things are, I think it's because the judge and most of those people over in Europe are probably having this action themselves, and they don't like the idea of one of their
hell yeah
guys.
Boy, how do you come up with that? Why do you say that, John?
I just have the sense of it.
Should I tell you what's going on here? What's rumbling? That's really interesting you say that. Do you recall the Dutroux case? It was a pedophile network from Belgium. This was this came to light in, I think, early 90s.
No.
Well, it's a long story, but this guy turned out to be part of a pedophile network which went into the highest levels of society, governments, justice departments, police, judges, bankers, and, you know, and it's like a really long, really, really deep, really, really gory story. But there's been, so a lot of these judges and politicians are, of course, blackmailable because, you know, there's all this information about them. And right now there's something kind of brewing in the Netherlands where the highest guy in the Justice Department, presumably has become blackmailable because he, had sex with underage boys in Turkey. The Turkish government found out about it. They made them, you know, get some Turkish businessman and throw him in jail for the rest of his life in Holland. Otherwise they'd reveal this, the stuff about this guy in the Justice Department. I mean, it's so funny you say that because I've had that feeling for a long time. And now there's this Jersey. Have you followed that? The island of Jersey?
No, tell me.
Oh man, this has been going on for a couple months.
We don't get
months,
any
maybe.
News here in this country, by the way.
Oh, so Jesus. Oh, this is horrible. So this also apparently has something to do with that. Isle of Jersey, which was, it's a very small island. It's part of the United Kingdom, but it has its own governance, so its own officials, its own police force. There's some stories about in World War II how the Nazis, you know, used that used the island, and a lot of the inhabitants collaborated. I'm just talking out of my ass here, okay? So I'm just telling you the facts as I've read them now and what I think I've understood, not the absolute truth. So there was this orphanage, mainly for boys, I think, but I think they did have, it was mixed at some point. It's been there for a long time. And there were always reports of abuse going on. And, you know, hundreds of people, and was, you know, always kind of like ignored, and these people are kind of nuts anyway, so no one really paid any attention to it. But now they made a discovery. There was a bunker nearby, and they found, you know, like torture chambers and charred remains of children and, you know, 65 different baby teeth. And, you know, here it comes, the chief of police, all of a sudden he's taking his pension now, and he's leaving. And yeah, I mean, this is like, there's no information coming in or out. it totally stinks of, you know, of something really nasty going on. And it's also, I've already seen it being linked to this Detru network. It's frightening.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you want, I'll send you a link, but it's,
you know, send me a link. It might be bloggable.
God, man, you know, I wouldn't even blog this link because, you know, there's a lot of photo evidence on it as well.
It's gruesome.
It's really gruesome.
Okay, well, whatever.
But I'll send it to you and you make the decision.
At least give me some. Yeah, it might, but it's interesting. This kind of stuff, we don't, you know, these are good stories that you'd think the media here would pick up on because you'd get some readership, you know. As opposed to, you know,
always thinking commercial. I love you, John C. Murdoch.
I'm serious. I mean, why don't, you know, these guys are running these stories about, you know, the first woman's marathon in Marin County and what a big deal it is.
That's important too. That's important for the community, John. What are you talking about, man?
You know, that kind of crap, as opposed to, like, you know, some real news.
You'll love the story though. You'll love it. You really, really will.
Well, I'm
going
to follow up on the Jill Dando thing, and the Max Mosley thing probably not so much.
Yeah, well, it's interesting.
The Dando story sounds interesting. There's good stuff out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots going on in our world that can distract us from the financial demise.
Oh, yeah, that too. All right. So I think we're at the one and a half point, unless you got something else.
Let me see.
See what I got here in my.
I'm pretty good.
Let me see what else I got from HQ and from the red facts on the talking points here. If there's anything I absolutely must talk about, or else I'm gonna lose my pension.
Who's giving that to you? Your wife or your son?
No. This is from the government.
Oh, of course. It makes
new
so much
John
sense.
Madden games coming out. I did.
Who cares?
Redesign. There's nothing here. Microsoft's doing another search engine. I mean, give me a break. What is wrong with these people?
Yeah, really.
That poor company is just a mess. China and the Olympics. I don't think they're clearing up the air, by the way. I'm not seeing any evidence of it. They're supposed to have, like, stopped everything, and now they've had, like, one of their worst air days the other day, and you can't see your hand in front of your face.
That's a bad day.
You know, it's like, but it's not from fog, you know, kind of thing.
Wow.
I don't know what they're going to do. I didn't even know it had gotten that bad. I mean, I've been to Beijing.
Why is that? I mean, we were able to clean up our act. Why didn't those guys get with the program? You know, we cleaned up Los Angeles, kind of. You know, the smog is not what it used to be.
I mean, you still have the bowl problem because, you know, Los Angeles is in a bowl. Yeah. And so it makes it problematic. But they put their pollution crap on the cars.
Yeah, but those guys are like the Chinese. They make our pollution catalyst. Catalytic converters.
Yeah, no,
they make that
it.
For
you
us.
Know, they're make. You know what? In this day and age, with all the technologies that are out there, I mean, we can create, we can build, and we do build coal burning plants that put out almost nothing.
Sure.
Because we have, you know, the shaking the bed, the floating beds, whatever they call them, type of burners, and they have scrubbers on the stacks and electrostatic precipitators on the stacks and all these things you can put on there that recover all the crap coming up the smokestack. The Chinese make half of that stuff.
That's
why aren't they putting
said.
It on their own factories? I mean, it's ridiculous that Chinese...
Electrostatic, that was a good word.
Electrostatic precipitator.
Precipitator. I bet you get laid saying that to people, don't you?
A couple times.
Electrostatic precipitator, baby. I got one in my bed.
Actually, I have an electrostatic precipitator in my office. They're actually a very good method for cleaning room air, too, because they take out all the pollen and pretty much anything that's floating around dust.
So not one of those ionizers?
No, electrostatic precipitator is what you want. The ionizer thing is kind of sketchy.
It's a sharper image favorite.
Yeah, you know, that's the sharper image went broke, too, you know.
Thanks. Thanks for reminding me.
Apparently that device didn't save them.
The only reason guys would actually go shopping with their women was if there was a sharper image in the mall, and now that's gone.
Well, I think there's still a Brookstone. That's got a lot of cool stuff.
That's lame. Brookstone never has any cool techno gadgets. It all has, like, outdoorsy stuff.
Yeah, but this is still better than
hammocks,
nothing.
Hammocks and stuff.
Hammocks. Yeah, hammocks compass. With counters on them.
Yeah.
Click, 3, 4, 5.
Exactly.
So, electrostatic precipitators are very cool. But you can put them, they put these, you know, industrial ones on stacks and it just, boom, kills the smoke pretty much. And then there's cyclones. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. And so apparently the Chinese didn't care, so they just went on the cheap to build their factories, which are, and then stupidly, most of them are, I don't even know why this is. This is the part that baffles me, is why are these things blowing into Beijing when most of the, I thought, my impression was the Chinese are going to build most of these new factories along the coastline of, you know, around Suzhou and places like that. But now that I think about it, I think China's just got factories everywhere.
I got a bad feeling.
They've just gone berserk. They're just building crap like there's no tomorrow.
I got a bad feeling about the Olympics. I got a feeling something bad's going to happen.
Well, there's a new article. I haven't read it yet, but I just got in the New Economist front page article on how the Olympics has slowed down China's run to freedom. Some political thing, you know, it's because, you know, they have to shut down the internet. They're worried about web access. I mean, the Chinese, it was a blunder for them to take the Olympics this soon. They should have waited.
Yeah, they're definitely not ready yet.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure the stadium would be cool. I don't know. I'm not going.
I got no invite.
Of course, I've only been to one, I think maybe two, one Olympic event, I think. During the L.A. Olympics, they had the soccer games were up here in the Northern California at Stanford Stadium. And I went to Italy versus Brazil or something like that.
Oh, dude, listen to this. On Rush Limbaugh, he was celebrating his 20th anniversary on air.
Yeah.
George W. Bush, his dad, and Jeb all called in at the same time. To congratulate him.
That's funny.
God damn, that's amazing, isn't it?
That's how powerful that guy's become.
He's president. Well, I'm just calling along with President 41 and the former governor of Florida. We're fixing to have lunch here. And I said, listen, we ought to call our pal and let him know that we care for you. So this is as much as anything, a nice verbal letter to a guy we really care for.
I don't think he got a call from Clinton.
No, I know. I can't do any accents, man.
No, your accent sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. For a guy who's got the voice, you know,
I can't do accents. No, I can't do accents.
Yeah. I think, you know, that you can get a coach.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I just stay away from it.
Yeah, see, I'd like to get a coach because there's a couple of accents I'd love to do. You know, I'd like to do, I can do just a burst, but I can't, I'm not even going to try, but I'd like to do a Scotch accent because I think that's hilarious. And, and a Russian. Although I think Leo does a great Russian.
Yeah, I heard that the other week. Yeah, he does a great Russian.
He does a great Russian. I think he can teach me the Russian.
But hey, man, you know, I got a complaint about Twit. There was no content last week.
Was that one of the shows I was on?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. It was fun. But, you know, I think you even said a couple times, hey, you know, let's talk about the news.
Yeah, that show fell off the track, and I'm not absolutely sure why. So I don't know.
No, it doesn't matter.
You know, there's the number, but you know, the news, it was a slow news week. So,
all right. So
there's no news in the summer.
No. I've discovered there's plenty of news. Just it's the journalists all go on vacation. That's why Bush is shoving through these executive orders to build the death camps. That's why it's happening now. Come on, man. There's lots of stuff going on. Lots of it.
Oh, hold here. Wait a minute. I'm looking at this list again. They do have a mention of the death camps here.
Where?
Do not mention death camps on my talking points memo from the...
Okay. All right. I got the message.
All right. So I think that's it. I think we're done. I think we're through.
All right. So plenty of homework there, John. You got some things to look at.
Yeah, I'm definitely... The one that has me most intrigued is the Jill Dando assassination.
But also catch up on our friend Lyndon LaRouche. You'll love it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to blog that. I'm going to find that somehow and blog it because that needs to be viewed by everyone because it's always good for it's always good for a laugh.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope it really is just nutty because he's pretty much predicting doom.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a good business in doom.
I should have started the tune earlier. This probably drives people mad.
What, the tune?
Yeah, we're just like waiting for it to end so we can end the show.
Oh.
I can't cue the guy and say, hurry it up. all right. Coming to you from the United Kingdom, my name's Adam Curry.
And I'm John C. Dvorak here in sunny Northern California.
And we will talk to you once again next week right here on No Agenda.